This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly English Premier League on the BetRivers Network.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're well. Welcome back to the Betting Weekly EPL podcast on the BetRivers Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. I'm delighted to be joined by these two brilliant gentlemen. First of all, Mr. Nigel Seeley, who's getting ready to jet off again. Are you ever even in England anymore?
Air miles are clocking up, mate. The air miles are clocking up. Yeah, free carriage clock for the missus for Christmas. Lovely from the air miles. So, I'm in Rome this week. I'm going to the golf on Sunday. You'll see the videos on Because We Win. But breaking news, not about my videos. Harry's going to do two videos this week. Can't believe it. Yeah. He's going to be at the QPR game video there Saturday and at the give his thoughts on the Brentford. Arsenal, we know what them thoughts are going to be, so we don't really need to see that. But no, yeah, I'm in at the golf on Saturday, and then I'm taking my mum and dad away, Harry. Just as nice guy I am, you know.
It's their 50th win
anniversary.
So you're taking them on a work trip and passing it off as though you're taking them away for a break, basically.
Correct. Correct. I never chose the day they got married. I wasn't even born. It's not my fault. It coincides with the Italian Open Golf and the England Italy International. Not my fault. If there was something going on in another European capital, we'd be going to Madrid or we'd be going to Barcelona, but we're going to Rome. So they're looking forward to it, mate.
Rome is beautiful. You'll enjoy it, I'm sure. Jack also joins us. Jack Wright, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. Thank you. Yeah. I'm jetting off as well this weekend.
Lovely. Where are you off to?
Norwich.
Yeah. Who are they playing this weekend, Jack?
We've got Steve Bruce's last game in charge for West Brom. Mm.
That's quite a thing for Norwich to give him the sack. Unless he might not even make the game.
No, it's the thing. I'm hoping they hang on just in enough time. I saw the end of their game last night. Yeah, it weren't pretty. So, I'm off to watch that one this weekend. So we'll see what happens there.
Hold on a minute, Jack. There was Champions League football on and you chose to watch Steve Bruce's West Brom.
The prep I put in for Because We Win, the EFL Championship programme, knows no bounds.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Brilliant stuff. Let's dive in then to this weekend's games. And I think these two have been reading each other's minds because there's some very similar choices here. But I want to get some explanation and some sort of analysis from both of you around some of these games. I'm going to start with you, Jack. Let's get your take, first of all, on the game between Newcastle and Bournemouth, because you've picked out a couple of things from this one. Talk to us about the game.
Yeah, I think this is a game that Newcastle will obviously earmark as a very winnable one. I think they've got quite a lot of frustration at the moment through one thing and another. Came close to beating Man City, obviously, at St James's Park a few weeks ago. And then were really frustrated by one, Crystal Palace's goalkeeper in their last home game, and two, by VAR in that as well, which ruled out which I think most people thought was a perfectly fair goal. So they've got a very, very strong home record. We know that under Eddie Howe. They only lost twice under him at home since he took over. And that's a run of like 17 games. And those defeats came at home to the top two from last season, Liverpool and Man City. So no real shame in that. And other than that, they just look extremely strong. A real good record there. Obviously, like, the crowd are now back well on side. They're loving it. It's a tough place to go for anyone. And I think, against this Bournemouth side that we know got a great result themselves last time out, but were two down, obviously, at half-time before a little tweak turned it round. And I think going to St James's Park, taking on Newcastle, is a different story to taking on a Forest side that are still trying to find their feet, obviously, in the Premier League. So, had a few injuries, Newcastle, but hopefully we'll see their key guys back for that. Alan Saint-Maximin and Bruno Guimaraes, obviously close to fitness now. So hopefully we'll see him in the matchday squad at least, and potentially even getting some minutes on the pitch as well. Isak's obviously come in to soften the blow of losing Callum Wilson. So, yeah, scored in on his debut against Liverpool. Goal disallowed as well. So that's looking good. I think that's a great signing as well. Looking forward to seeing him this season. So I just feel that, yeah, as far as the goals are concerned, I can't see Newcastle not having a little bit of a field day against this Bournemouth side that have still got their kind of championship defence set up. So a couple of decent results under Gary O'Neill, but so this is a step up in class for them, I think, from what they've had. And they have struggled away from home despite that good result last time out. So the bet for me is for Newcastle to score over 1.5 goals, and also to take over 5.5 corners as well. So the corner front for them is crazy. They've got the highest corner average in the league. At home, averaging just under 10. 29 corners they've taken in their opening three games. They've taken 13 in two of their last three games as well. So obviously we know what they're going to get at St James's. The crowd are going to be pushing them on. They don't let up, do they? They're not a side that will go one or two up and then sit back and take it easy. They're a side that will go full throttle for the full 90 minutes. And as I said, we'll... Hence why they win so many corners. They just keep going. And obviously with some of the players that they've got in there, the attacking direct players that they have, then it just results in plenty of action in that final third. Goals, corners, and a nice mix. And I just felt that was a good way to get Newcastle on side against the Bournemouth side that we have faded a fair amount this season. And we'll probably look to continue to do that despite a slight upturn.
Nigel, you're attacking this one slightly differently. Talk to us about sort of your thoughts on this game.
Well, I agree with pretty much everything that Jack said there in terms of how good Newcastle, what a total difference St James's Park is since the Mike Ashley days to what they are now. I mean, it was like going back to Newcastle when the Premier League started. It was a real, real intimidating place. The crowd wanted them to win. I went to a few games when Mike Ashley was in charge, and it was dreadful. I mean, people were walking out, people were just turned. As soon as they went 1-0 down, the whole crowd just turned on the owner and the situation they found themselves in. That isn't the case anymore. And Eddie Howe was one of my bets actually to be the first manager to be sacked. Couldn't have got that more wrong. The reason I did it was because I thought if he gets off to a bad start, they're going to be very keen to get rid of him, the new owners, with the money he has to spend. But he's doing really, really, really well there. The only loss they've had this season is against Liverpool, and that was in the 95th minute goal, the stoppage time goal that stopped that with that win or get that point. They should have beaten Manchester City, as Jack said. And at home, it is a really, really tough place to go. Obviously, you've got to throw into the mix that Bournemouth are obviously managed by Eddie Howe. His backroom staff, obviously, coach is there as well. So that makes it an interesting subplot. The other thing as well, I know these are Premier League football players, but for fans, this is the longest trip that you can probably go in. It is the longest trip you can go to in the Premier League. So it's a long way for the fans to go and a long way for the fans to go back. And I think that long journey back is not going to be a very nice one for the Bournemouth fans. Bournemouth did do really well. I mean, they got hammered 9-0, sacked the manager, Scott Parker, and then they got a 0-0 draw and a 3-2 win. But the defensive frailties were all to see in that first half against Nottingham Forest, conceding two goals. And that is the big underlying problem that that Bournemouth have so far this season. In the last three road matches, they've conceded 15 goals, averaging five a game. And you go to a real, real, you know, passionate and upbeat Newcastle, I think that spells a big, big problem for you. Jack is absolutely right about the players coming back for Newcastle. I expect a few of them to start. I think Callum Wilson's a 50-50 chance wherever he starts it. They said he was going to be out for 2 weeks, and he may shock and start. I mean, obviously, he's a former Bournemouth player, so he will want to return. And he forms that formidable partnership with Isak, which is probably going to be one of the better strike partnerships in the Premier League. And it's got goals. It's already got goals in them. So I like Newcastle minus one goal here. I think they're going to win. They're minus 250 to win. So I think some books have got them at minus $2. But if you think they're going to win, you get the push. If it's 1-0, if Jack's going for over 1.5 goals, which and against a Bournemouth side that averaged 5 goals in their last 3 matches, I know it's a small sample, but that shows you where the problems lie. I like Newcastle here, minus one on the Asian handicap, minus 136. I think it's a much better way of getting with Newcastle to win this game at a much better price than just them to win on the money line. So Newcastle minus one Asian handicap against a Bournemouth side that have got big, big defensive frailties in Newcastle. And the other thing, I think the last week with the postponement of the Premier League helped Newcastle massively because it gave them an extra week for their better players to get fit for this game. So I think that's a huge advantage for them. They come in fresh. A lot of players who needed the time to recuperate are back in the squad. And I think Bournemouth will get a bit of a tonking in this one.
Go on, Jack.
No, I was going to say, it'll be interesting to see. So I think the Gary O'Neill tweeted at half-time against Forest because they had nothing to lose. They were two down. It'll be interesting to see how he goes about this one. Regardless, one thing for sure is Newcastle won't let their kind of foot off the throat as such as the way that Forest did. So, we'll expect 90 minutes of pure Newcastle gunning for it. I didn't have the stats written down or the odds written down, but it's +135 the odds I'm taking on that the same game parlay for me that I'm taking. So over 1.5 goals for Newcastle and over 5.5 corners for Newcastle. So plus money, I like the look of it in two really strong areas for Newcastle.
Maybe I'm just much more old school than my baby face suggests, but Gary O'Neill tweeting at halftime, what is that about? Concentrate on your team talk. Concentrate on getting your players back up to speed. That's just, I don't know.
If you can get a football manager to tweet at halftime, you can get a presenter to tweet before the match, can't you, Jack? Come on, let's be fair. Come on, man. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed, Jack? He keeps mentioning it on the podcast because he wants it on record.
Yeah. I do want it on record. I want it on record 100%.
That's going to be a weird edit when you cut that little bit out later.
Don't worry, you'll get your videos. You'll get your videos. Okay. Right, let's move on to another game. Let's come back to you, Jack. Everton versus West Ham. Mm. You two have got basically exactly the same bet on this. So I'll come to both of you for your kind of reasoning behind this. But Jack, we'll start with yourself.
Well, I'm glad you didn't save this one till last. This is a proper dour looking affair, this one, isn't it? This is like a war of attrition, I'd call it, for us to watch it as much as them to play in it. I think it's the last game of the weekend. And they certainly haven't saved the best to last, as I said. So the Goodison Park crowd, they're trying to get their team going. They're trying to get things moving, aren't they? But they've been treated to a massive three goals so far in total across their three games at home this season. 0-0, obviously, the last time out, which they probably would have taken as it was against Liverpool and local derby. And I think they gave it a go. But it was, another 0-0. They had three goals in total across them. West Ham's away games don't fare too much better. Five goals across their three away games. So it's no surprise I'm going for under 2.5 goals in this one at odds of -132. West Ham as well. The main thing for me here is the fact that they've got a European game Thursday night away in Denmark as well. So it's not even at home. So focus on that game. Look to go and get a result. Regardless of them rotating, how they're going to rotate. They've got the biggest squad. But they can't go too mad as far as the rotation is concerned. And then come back for a game on Sunday up at Everton. So again, it's not even a local one. It's not even a London game. So it's all going against them, and it just means you often see it, those games following on from an away day in Europe, especially those Thursday night Europa League ones, tends to be just a little bit flat, a little bit stodgy. And I saw them last time they played away against Villa. And I saw that game against Villa, and it was two really out of form sides, kind of just really trying to play and look pretty awful. And this, for me, echoes that game really. Obviously, West Ham went to Chelsea, which was a London derby, so it had a bit more fizz about it. And that game against Villa just reminded me of two drunks having a fight. They kind of knew what they wanted to do, but they didn't know how to do it. And they couldn't execute. And it ended 1-0. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this one end 1-0 either way. You know, Everton haven't got any cutting edge. They brought in Mopay from Brighton, who'd now gone down the pecking order at Brighton. And we all know about Brighton creating the chances and not being able to finish them off, or as many of as they should do. And really, that largely falls at the door of Mopay. And we saw that against Liverpool. A couple of chances for him. And he seems to be a striker that needs to have five or six chances to score one. he ain't going to get five or six chances in his Everton side, really. You need a striker that's going to be able to score one in two or better, really, to be fair. And so Everton just haven't got that cutting edge. And it's a tough watch, to be fair. We've seen how they're set up. We've seen how they're playing, kind of counter-attack. Not very entertaining. Not great to watch. Sit deep. And like I said, I can just see this being a little bit of a bore fest. If a side gets a goal, we'll be lucky, and then it'll be a case of them trying to hold on to it. That's how I see it panning out. I think this one ended 1-0 last season, so it all points towards being a proper low-scoring affair, which won't be much of an entertaining watch.
Nigel, the UK broadcasters will bill this as Super Sunday clash. It's far from going to be super, isn't it?
Well, I agree with Jack again. I mean, I've disagreed with him a few times on this podcast.
That we're recording it.
Yeah, I have to agree with him on this one occasion as well. It was one of the better bets of the weekend for me. I'm more of an under man than an over man, even though we're going to come on to a bet in a minute where I like the overs. But this one just screams unders for all the reasons that Jack said. The other thing as well is obviously it's a weekend of managers going back to former clubs, you know. David Moyes taking back West Ham back to Goodison Park. For years and years, he did really well. But what he did really well at Goodison Park was he made them hard to beat. He made it very difficult, defensively sound. And that is probably what Everton are at the moment. They are a very, very difficult side to beat. Four draws in succession because they've got a very good defence. I mean, Connor Cody's come into what is an established defence. They're very hard to beat at home, which is a very, very difficult place to go. They've got a decent goalkeeper. I don't know if Pickford's back. Is Pickford back for this game? I don't know.
He's injured,
but he's out. So that's a bit of a blow for them. But on the other side, West Ham come here with wholesale new faces, and it's going to take a bit of time for them to gel. I love the point, the fact that they're playing in Europe on a Thursday, which is always a distraction on a Thursday. Templin playing on Sunday. I don't like to get with teams on that situation. If you look at the season so far, this season, with Jack has said, three goals. Only scored in all of Everton's home games, but in their six games in the Premier League, five of them have gone under 2.5 goals, cashed on under 2.5 goals. The only game that didn't cash on the under 2.5 goals was that game against Aston Villa, where Aston Villa scored a very, very, very late goal. I think it was about the 89th, 90th minute, or something like that. And exactly the same for West Ham. Five of their six games this season have all been under 2.5 goals with a cash, and the only one that didn't was that crazy game, which looked like it was going to be very low scoring until the last 10 minutes in a frenzy between West Ham and Chelsea. So really, you could be sitting here saying every single one of these two sides in 12 games combined them under 2.5 goals as cash. Everton don't have a striker. I've always been critical of Brighton and people who use the XG model, because the fact is if you create all the chances and the striker don't score, unless you change the striker, he's still going to have the same problem week in and week out. You know, everybody thinks, oh, well, they've created some chances, it's going to turn. Well, it isn't. And Mope was, as Jack said, is one of the main reasons for that. He looks a complete panic buy to me, a complete and utter panic buy. They need a striker. Everyone they went to, Everton, they probably put 10 million on the price because they knew they were desperate. And they got a good bit of business from someone who didn't deliver the goods at Brighton. They're desperate to replace Richarlison. They haven't replaced him. Calvert-Lewin is out and not looking the player he was. He's more interested in fashion modelling than playing in the Premier League. When you think about that guy, I mean, he was Harry Kane's like deputy, wasn't he? And he was certain to go to, and he could be the new Dele Alli. He could, but if you think about it, just it just looks a logic game. I mean, one goal, I think, will win this, and I wouldn't like to predict which way it will go, but I think under 2.5 goals here, like I say, it was -125 when I sent the bet through, it's now up to -132, but even at those lines, it's very hard. Just one thing, if ever me and Jack agree on a play, our records this season isn't very good. We had a bad week just before the Premier League was suspended. We're now -6 units for the season, which isn't very good, but it will come good. If we every play we put up here, we have a one unit pick on. And if we agree, like we are agreeing on this one, that will be rated as a two-unit play. So if myself and Jack ever agree on a pick, we have a two-unit pick on it rather than a one-unit pick. So for this one, it's a two-unit bet on under 2.5 goals at -132.
Nice one. Nigel, let's stick with you because you've gone second on both of the bets so far. And there's another bet that you guys agree on as well in the Nottingham Forest against Fulham game. So we'll start off with Nigel on this one and then we'll come to Jack in a moment.
Well, this game is Friday night. It's obviously Friday night. So if you are watching this, make sure you bet. I think it's going to be around about, I mean, I don't know if it's 7:45 or 8 o'clock, but it's around about 2:45 Eastern time or 3 o'clock Eastern time to check the kickoff time. But make sure you get your bets on because it's a Friday night game. The one thing about Nottingham Forest this season is that, you know, I thought they would do okay. I thought they would do all right. And I thought the reason why they do all right is because the manager. I thought the manager would have enough about him to keep them up. No, I'm not saying top half, but they bought so many players in the transfer window, absolutely loads. And sometimes when you buy so many players, it doesn't work. And at the moment, Nottingham Forest look all over the place defensively. We talk about Bournemouth, but this Nottingham Forest side, they play in an attractive way. This means they leave themselves vastly open at the back. And they are conceding chances and goals more than alarming rate in the Premier League. And when you consider some of the goals they've conceded against arguably the worst team the Premier League has seen in Bournemouth probably for the last 3 or 4 years or on their expected points would be probably considered the worst. And that side scores 3 goals against you. You're in for a tough season. And I think the alarming goals they conceded is another thing. The other thing I think is a big concern for Nottingham Forest. Now, I don't think he's going to get the job, but he's certainly a contender. The fact that Brighton are looking at Steve Cooper as a potential manager. Now, he's third favourite in the list. You know, the guy from Lyon is the heavy favourite, but he's third favourite in the list. And that is a distraction. But I don't care what you say. That's a distraction because Nottingham Forest need to keep that manager with all these new signs. They're all these players. It's his club and they need to keep him. So that is a distraction. So I feel this game here is a real difficult one. And I think it's one really to determine two things. Are Nottingham Forest really in big trouble? On the flip side, are Fulham the real deal? And I think Fulham are a really good side. I said when we did the Premier League preview that I thought the Fulham will surprise everybody. I thought they're more likely to be in the top 10 than at a relegation. And that is what's happened. Mitrovic is on fire. You know, can he do it in the Premier League? Can he not do it in the Premier League? They're a young team who work hard for each other. Kenny in midfield is playing exceptionally well. The manager's a proven manager in the Premier League, and he's doing really, really well at a club. And he's got a real good base of a young team there to work with that are going to surprise everybody. They should have beaten Liverpool on the opening day of the season. They've only lost one game all season. And in all their games, overs has pretty much been a done thing. They failed to score in just one match. Mitrovic has more shots, as Jack's alluded to so many times whenever we talk about Fulham. You know, he's just, apart from Haaland, he would be the main talking point in the Premier League this season. And with that Nottingham Forest defence and the way that these two managers like to play, I just can't see anything other than a high-scoring game here. And I'm shocked that over 2.5 goals is -110. I mean, really, I mean, I thought it would be -130 and the unders would be +120 or something like that. But it's -110. It's more or less a pick'em game on the betting concern. And I think if you did a straw poll of everybody and said, which one do you think this will be over or under? And you got 50, you got double your money, you take overs all day long. So I really like the overs in this game. It's not my strongest bet. I think the under 2.5 would be my strongest bet. But I always worry with overs. At least with the unders, you start winning. that's how I look at it. But I can't see this game. The way the two teams set up, the way they are playing at the moment, defensive frailties and Fulham at Forest and Fulham being very, very good offensively, I think there's goals in the game.
Jack, let's come to you for your take on this one.
Yeah, all those points, really. And I think with Forest, they went in with a lot of expectation. The fans, obviously, quite rightly so, happy to be back after 20 years and we're loving it. Obviously seeing the players come in fuel that excitement. Very interesting or weird, depending on your outlook. But as we said, 21, 22 players. They've even trying to pick up free agents so they can keep bringing new players in. But it's they've kept the same back three. So they've brought all those other players in, but kept the same defence. And it's a championship defence. And obviously, these two were in the championship last season. But Fulham scored 4 goals against these last year at the City Ground. Same managers in situ. Mitrovic scored a couple that day. So they're going to go there in super confident mood. And Forest have only kept one clean sheet this season. Fulham actually have only kept one clean sheet as well. So that screams goals in itself. And as Nigel said, the only time Fulham haven't scored so far this season was against Wolves, which we all know say Nigel's favourite bet there, and that's a fact. You know, they've got the best defence in the league, worst attack of Wolves, and Mitrovic missed a penalty that day. So yeah, they should have even scored in that one. He should have scored in every single game so far this season instead of five of the six, and they should have scored in every single game this season instead of five of the six. So they've got all the makings for it, and like I say, I think the alarm bells will be ringing at Forest certainly, because yeah, they could have took the defeat to Man City, although it was a heavy one. They could have took the defeat to Spurs because they were bigged up for the fact that they went for it. I still think Spurs rope-a-doped a bit that one, but that defeat to Bournemouth last time out, when I think they were probably getting cigars out at halftime, 2-0 up, to then concede three goals in 45 minutes against a Bournemouth side that we've said is going to struggle this season, certainly will ring alarm bells, but will make other sides go, we can really get at this Forest side that do leave themselves, as you say, wide open, because they're full on attack. The wing backs are bomb on. They've got, you know, both sides will be well advanced. And Fulham have set up this season to be not have the ball too much, hit on the counter attack, and be ruthless, and say that they've scored lots of goals, look very strong, and so Mitrovic is spearheading that mean and lean, as we've said before. So expect him to be licking his lips to have a chance to add to his tally so far this season on Friday night, for sure.
Indeed, indeed. Those are the bets then for this week. The guys pretty much singing from the same hymn sheet with most of the games, at least, that have been picked. Anything to add before I tell people where they can follow us, how they can listen to the podcast? Go on, Nigel.
Just, no, obviously, there's loads of content again. Obviously, it's a big week of sport and a big week of soccer. We've got nine leagues covered on the Bet Rivers Network. Obviously, next week, we've got the Nations League, where the guys are going to do some picks on the international football. It's an international break next week, so there'll be no Premier League show. Yeah, and obviously there's the golf tournament going on in Rome, and the PGA Tour is back as well. And tennis is a week off this week, but that returns with myself and Sean after our success at the US Open. So lots of good content on UFC as well, on there as well. So lots of good content on the Bet Rivers Network. The subscribers are growing very well and the views are growing very well. So long may that continue. But I think the big news of the week, obviously, Harry, is that we can't wait for two videos. I think the video, we can't wait for QPR v Stoke video to hear what you have to say from Loftus Road. And then we'll all be on tenterhooks on Sunday to hear your commentary or your information from the Brentford Community Stadium, where Brentford host Arsenal. So I think that is the big news of the week, and one that I'm sure the listeners and the subscribers and the followers on Twitter just can't wait to see.
The impartial views from Sunday, of course.
Of course. Absolutely. Always.
Revenge on the menu this weekend.
I will guarantee you, Jack, it'll be saying, I've got this video, but I can't get any internet action. There's no internet access. It's really bad Wi-Fi. Yeah, you look at his Twitter page. And he's tweeting about all the formations, chatting to someone about whether Jesus is a good signing, and you go to the Brazilian World Cup, but he can't get an internet access.
No, when you go as media and you go as press, there is no Wi-Fi issues, because you get the stadium Wi-Fi. The problem is when you get to a stadium, as soon as
it's outside, isn't it? It's outside, isn't it? Trains?
In the trains. You want a video from the trains? I could do that from bloody the end of my road, and you
but walking up to the ground, in the ground, the ambience, the big match build up, Harry. Come on,
what big match build up you get at QPR? A few people standing with cans.
I hope this goes viral and someone starts giving you some stick on Saturday for saying that.
Ooh. The walk from White City Station to Loftus Road is
Phone out that way, you're in trouble, you'd be big trouble.
Brilliant stuff, guys. Thank you so much. Make sure you are subscribed to the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. If you are listening to this on audio format, please make sure you're subscribed and leave us a review. You can give us a follow on Twitter at because we win, and we can keep you across all of the latest content and information there. We'll be back very, very soon with more. As Nigel says, it is an international break next week, so there will be no Premier League action to discuss, but we'll be back shortly after that, and keep your eyes peeled for the Nations League content coming your way. Until next time, take care of yourselves. All the best.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly English Premier League on the Bet Rivers Network.